Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 13.
We made it.
You blink your eyes.
And there's Baker's dozen right there.
Baker's dozen.
There you go.
All right, y'all. So we announced in a video today, I think we posted it today, that we were going to be doing a podcast about water.
I say water. Yeah, I say water.
Okay. But how do you say chimney? Okay. So, there was this very interesting article that Alan Savory tweeted on, and there was a lot, there's a lot of really good stuff here. There's some interesting data, and then there's some curious things that I have questions about. And so I kind of wanted to, it's an extensive article. I think it's a New York Times thing. I don't want to go through the whole thing because of the length. What I'll tell you right off the bat. Now, first off, this podcast is sponsored by thetexasboys.com. So this is a value for value proposition. So please, if you appreciate our information and everything that we do and the community we're trying to create and establish, please go to thetexasboys.com. If you need some coffee, tea, maybe some unvaccinated honey, share the love and support. And, you know, there we have some podcast sponsors, so you'll be hearing from them later on. But we love and appreciate y'all. Thanks so much for listening. Please also go and rate the podcast. It's on all your podcatchers, so give us a rating. Give us some feedback on the Fountain app. We can communicate back and forth. We love taking your questions. We love content ideas. If you say, hey, try doing a podcast or this or that or whatever. Definitely, we love the interaction. We love our community. So please, y'all, help us out. Give us some ideas. If it also put us in contact with any interviews. We have some really excellent interviews coming up. Simeon from the formerly the Swedish Homestead. We're going to be having him on. We're going to be having on Texas Slim with the Beef Initiative. I believe Allison Morrow is going to be on. Josh from the Co-Movement Gym podcast is going to be on. So we're just lining them up and got to get them cranked out, y'all. But definitely, if you have anybody that you'd like us to interview, maybe reach out to them.
Sure.
And we'd love to have them. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's get into this article here. And what I'll do is I will give you the name of the article is America is draining its groundwater like there's no tomorrow. And this was dated.
That's just beautiful.
September 1st, y'all. This is a September 1st article, which that's interesting because it's not a September 1st article because today's September 1st and I've had this article. So I'm not sure how everything works in postmodern digital world. This article is definitely not from September 1st. That's so.
That is weird.
Hey, y'all.
What?
This says September 1st, 2023, which is today, 9:07 p.m.
And we are recording at 4:43
p.m. Central Time. So I am more confused. Like,
this is in the future.
Is this future self talking?
Okay. This is like trippy stuff.
Some crazy stuff, y'all. Back to the future. We're living in a postmodern, post-truth extravaganza of illusions. And there's going to be some of this in this article that I want to think about and talk about. And Matt and I haven't discussed it yet. So we'll get some
awesome,
interesting dialogue. But a wealth of underground water helped create America, its vast cities, and bountiful farmland. Now, Americans are squandering the inheritance. United States aquifers, based on a 2020 research map of the continental United States, marked with states and boundaries. So what I did is I put this in reader mode, so it's probably giving me all the, all the map information.
Yep.
Global warming has focused concern on land and sky as soaring temperatures intensify hurricanes, droughts, and wildfires. But another climate crisis is unfolding underfoot.
Oh, good.
And out of view. All right, so we get all the good, juicy propaganda mm-hmm. and the syrupy irony on the front end. Now, we do absolutely know, and Jeff Lawton and Alan Savory, they've been sounding the alarm about the desertification of America. And yeah. we know that monocultures are mm-hmm. participating in that. We know that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of these modern industrialized practices are contributing to this.
Correct.
And yeah. this is a very real thing, just like the erosion of topsoil. Mm-hmm. There are certain questions that I want to consider while reading this supposed information. You know, everyone is experiencing, you know, different types of drought. We had an extended drought last year.
Yep.
We're currently 45 days into yeah. no rain. And we should be coming back into our rainy season. Yeah. So,
and that drought forced thousands of ranchers throughout Texas and the South to sell off tens of thousands of cattle for pennies.
Right.
And for hours at sale barns. And I'm talking backed up like apocalyptic type lines, like crazy nuts, because... Yeah. Hay bales were over $100, $120 mm-hmm. a bale, and just absolutely nuts. And by God's grace, we didn't have to sell any of our cows. We were able to acquire some hay bales, and also we did have a small enough herd, and we were able to, with 100% the help of the YouTube community, y'all, we were able to save Mr. Larry's Longhorn herd, which he has about 40 head over there. Mm-hmm. And that was a big blessing to him. And he's been absolutely so happy with because he was at the point that he was thinking he was going to have to sell pretty much all of his herd yeah. because, you know, he doesn't make that much money. You know, it's his hobby and he loves doing it.
They're retired. I mean,
you know, so... He wasn't going to be able to float it.
He's a retired school teacher.
So anyway, yeah, it's been crazy, y'all. And then this year it's jacking up it's messing with all of the cattle prices because there's no cattle available, but then we're in this drought, right? So you would think prices would go down because people are trying to get rid of their cattle, but there's no cattle.
Inventory's so down.
So it's just this
supply
chaos.
Supply and demand force is
it's
pushing
nuts.
Prices up in the midst of hyperinflation. Yeah. And everything else. And
it's insane.
There's so many factors that are driving all
nuts.
This.
And nuts.
Now we're experiencing this water issue again. Mm. And let's read through this
yeah,
article.
Go ahead.
Now what I want to float out there,
mm-hmm.
this is part of my question. And I know there's a lot of variables with this and different things happen regionally,
correct,
right, and whatnot. And obviously when it doesn't rain and the ground gets very dry, that is observable and perceivable.
Yeah.
Now my question is, the earth is a closed system.
Okay, why do you have to make your hands like that, like it's round?
I apologize. I'm virtue signaling that I am a globalist. All right, I'm not a flat eartherist. I'm a globalist, but
I think they would just hold out their hand like that.
but that's a different discussion for a different
day. That is.
I'm a geocentrist and all that good stuff. Okay, so and that's a different discussion for a different day. Maybe we'll do a podcast on that.
If y'all would want to hear about any of those two topics, go ahead and comment down below.
So. In a closed system with an atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and the flat earthers would agree with this as well, the humidity and the moisture and the water is not being destroyed. Now, supposedly with this global warming
mm-hmm.
stuff, right, the polar ice caps are melting.
Correct.
So if ice melted,
mm-hmm.
it would turn into water.
Mm.
Right?
Interesting.
So then there would be more water and less ice. This is why currently New York City is supposed to be underwater, according to Al Gore.
It's because the interior of the Earth is extremely hot, several million degrees.
Thanks, Al. Yeah. So, you know, there's several millions of degrees that are boiling the Earth and melting the polar ice caps and killing the polar bear. If that ice was changing into a liquid like water, there should, in a very measurable way, there should actually be more water on Earth than less. There's less ice, more water. But my question is, we clearly can watch this desertification process. So it is happening. But my question is where is the water going?
That's what I want to know. You know, you can clearly see, like, you know, that they're going to point out in these articles, you know, that lakes are drying up and different things like that. So, so that's observable. So you can observe that and be like, yes, they are drying up. So you can validate what they are saying, but that's what I want to know because, it's...
I would think, right?
It kind of hurts my brain when I try to...
Logic would dictate that this water can definitely be migrating from one place, but in a closed system, it would have to be showing up somewhere else.
It can't
be disappearing.
That's what I want to know,
You know, unless this is a simulation, and now I'm joking, y'all. That's a bunch of...
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Many of the aquifers that supply 90% of the nation's water systems and which have transformed vast stretches of America into some of the world's most bountiful farmland, you know, and we can definitely disagree with this. They're referencing big ag and using these hydration process, mechanical hydration. Mm-hmm. We all know that prior to that, it was a very lush prior to the Dust Bowl, you know, so this is some revisionist history here as well. But nonetheless, aquifers are being pumped dry. The New York Times conducted a months-long examination of groundwater depletion, interviewing more than 100 experts. Oh, well, there you go. Traveling the country and creating a comprehensive database using millions of readings from monitoring sites. The investigation reveals how America's life-giving resource is being exhausted in much of the country, and in many cases, it won't come back. Huge industrial farms and sprawling cities are draining aquifers that could take centuries or millennium to replenish themselves if they recover at all. So we can point this out that water used in an industrial sense to supply these large cities or large farms or whatever, that water is being redirected either from an aquifer, from a treatment plant, right? And then it goes out and then it gets recycled. And there's definitely a diminishing loss there in that whole process.
Yeah.
So I can see all that. Uh-huh. And that's very real. And that does put pressure on our water infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And it does build a good case for, you know, there's a whole other concept that should be taken into consideration, and that's the concept of primary water, and that if you drill down deep enough, that was a discovery less than 100 years ago. There's several articles, y'all, about primary water, and they claim that it's endless, and
if you drill deep enough, right, because you got, like, your aquifer level, and then you got primary.
So there's lots of interesting stuff about water.
I think I just have to do some more research. I think that would be a fun thing, because if you have your primary water and then you got your aquifers, wouldn't your primary fill back up the aquifer?
You know, we know that this supposed peak oil scarce resource,
I know, that's
that is not a fossil fuel. We know that oil replenishes, right?
So is it the same with this?
I don't know. And here's another thing I do know that nobody talks about, what water is being used for, well, several different things. You got Fukushima, right? And all that contaminated water they're currently pumping into the Pacific right now. So they have stored up all of that contaminated water, and Japan is pumping that into the Pacific as we speak. So many trillion tons of liters of whatever. y'all.
Radiated.
And that's not. Oh, but don't worry. They built a really long tube, and they're doing it way out middle. Oh, so well, that won't hurt anything.
That's fine.
Like fish or anything like
that. Yeah, that'll only hurt anything that lives in the middle of the sea.
So there's that. And, yeah, it's scary. And so there's that. And then there's all the water being used to cool all these supercomputers that the CIA, NSA, FBI.
So much so that they've been thinking about, like, with, like, the ChatGPT stuff, they've been considering building these supercomputers in the sea.
Yeah.
Because they use...
To keep them
they
cool.
They use so much water, it's not even cost-effective to pump water to them, that they're just planning, oh, we'll just put them in the sea.
And these, and a lot of these cities nuts. That are running out of water are because this water is being redirected to these super mainframes so that they can track, trace, and store all of our data and all this stuff on all these InQtel servers for the deep state and all that stuff.
So
these
this are will definitely be, like, you know, we'll be able to watch as time goes on and actually see if this is legit or not. It's like the polar ice caps that are, you know, should have melted.
Well,
by
it's
now.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. Like when you spray aerosolized metals into the air, right?
Yeah.
And then you do all these things that either create or stop climate change. You know, when you spray heavy metals into the air, you're changing the climate.
Yeah.
Regardless of
period. So, end of story.
So it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. Like, has the water gone missing yet, or will the water go missing? But this is our cover story if mm-hmm. the water goes missing, or when the water goes missing.
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting. But anyway, groundwater loss is hurting breadbasket states like Kansas, where the major aquifer beneath 2.6 million acres of land can no longer support industrial scale agriculture. So there's a blessing.
There you go.
Yeah, this is going to now the larger impact is terrible, because when you have big ag producers that can no longer produce, you're not going to have the product.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where small scale, is where decentralized options are going to have to pick up the pace or make the difference so that people don't starve to death. It's
possibly going carnivore.
Well, the cow's got to eat something green too.
That's
so
true.
There still has to be...
They're talking about, like, corn yields and stuff like that.
Right, but regardless, there has to be hay. So
correct.
Some kind of product. Something's got to be eating a product.
But don't you think a lot of that has to do with the nasty chemicals they've been spraying for, like, decades?
Sure.
You know, on there.
Absolutely.
Doing that to make it so the ground can't even hold moisture.
It's aquaphobic,
you know.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, and that's where all of... This is where regenerative agriculture...
So they could be like, the aquifer's draining, but... It really, it's because you've dumped millions and millions of dollars worth of chemicals on it for so long that it's done.
Yeah.
It's like a desert now.
And the,
you know,
the point to all that is the water is still going somewhere. Now, it might not be going where we need it in the soil and nutrients and to grow food, but it's not disappearing.
It can't just like vanish.
Water does not vanish.
No.
You know, that's how reason it's been raining since the beginning of creation, relatively speaking. I realize that prior to Noah, there was a canopy and it was dew from the ground. Mm-hmm. But let's just, you know, however long and that even that time frame is pre-flood. You can add up the ages and figure it out. I think it's like, what, 1,000 years or a couple thousand years or whatever. So, but since the flood, it has been raining on a regular basis because of this cycle that is an observable cycle of this whole rain, condensation, evaporation, and this whole thing. So water does not disappear and cease to exist.
Yeah.
It changes states. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a gas, whether it's a liquid, whether it's a solid, but it does not disappear. Just all this is interesting stuff that I want us to think about.
Yeah.
Corn yields have plummeted. If that decline were to spread, it would threaten America's status as a food superpower, which is an interesting choice of words, food superpower. Interesting. 1,500 miles to the east in New York State, overpumping is threatening drinking water wells on Long Island, birthplace of the modern American suburb. Ooh, great. Thanks. Thanks, New York. Thanks, Long Island. You're my hero. The birthplace of the modern American suburb and home to working class towns as well as the Hamptons and their beachfront mansions. With guys like Barry Satora, his vineyard, pack the car in the yard. Around Phoenix, one of America's fastest growing cities, the crisis is severe enough that the state has said there's not enough groundwater in parts of the country to build new houses that rely on aquifers. In other areas, including parts of Utah, California, and Texas, so much water is being pumped up that it is causing roads to buckle, foundations to crack, and fissures to open in the earth. And around the country, rivers that relied on groundwater have become streams or trickles or memories. And now this is all observable. This is happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to get that back. Don Klein, the Associated Director for Water Resources at the United States Geological Survey, said of disappearing groundwater, there's almost no way to convey how important it is. Now, I will agree with him on this. And mm-hmm. our friend at Better Together Homestead, he posted a video, Bo and Kelly, he posted a video like maybe a week or two ago,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying how where they are in Central Texas, their municipality is selling their water to San Antonio.
Nuts.
So this is going on in real time, and like, what is up with this? And they, them, and those, and these people, these bureaucrats, and they'll sell the water right out from under your feet, and then they'll declare it a crisis. You know?
Yeah.
And then what? FEMA is supposed to come in with bottled Nestle water. Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, it's as interesting. I mean, wow. But despite the importance, the view of the predicament has often been fragmented until now. This analysis is based on tens of thousands of groundwater monitoring wells that dot the nation. The Times collected data for these wells, which are widely scattered and often poorly tracked from dozens of federal, state, and local jurisdictions. That database reveals the scope of the crisis in many ways. Ever since 1940, for example, more wells have had falling water levels than rising levels. One of the biggest obstacles is that the depletion of this unseen yet essential natural resource is barely regulated. Well, yeah, just like here, what's the big water place in Hawkins? Mm-hmm. Is that Nestle or Ozarka?
Yeah, Ozarka.
They're pumping the aquifer, mm-hmm. and then they're putting it in bottles and shipping it everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and Ozarka is a subsidiary of Nestle.
Yeah.
And Nestle is like leeching the planet, right, and putting it in bottles and selling it back to us. I mean, talk about the Federal Reserve. I mean, it is like the technocratic oligarchy and crazy. These transnational corporations. Yeah. They're just going to bleed us to death. And that's why we were talking today in our video about collection ponds.
Yeah.
Right. And the importance of creating your own aquatic infrastructure for microclimates, mm-hmm. for aquatic animals like all different kinds of frogs. I can't tell you how many different kinds of frogs and tree frogs and toads and amphibians we have. It is incredible.
A lot.
We're always seeing new, beautiful. It's mm-hmm. incredible. But there's all these intrinsic benefits to having stored water, whether you're storing it in a pond, a container, mm-hmm. you're capturing it. And there's also lots of legislation that's trying to prohibit mm-hmm. us and prevent us from doing that.
And we have a shallow well, and it's only about 40 feet deep, and it's still full of water.
It continues to refresh mm-hmm. itself yeah. at a slow rate, but that rate has not diminished, even in spite of the drought.
Yeah.
So it's all very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is also relatively unexamined at the national scale. And, you know, when you start considering that they want a deep well toxic water from East Palestine, and they want a deep well liquefied CO2 in this national pipeline that runs all through the Midwest, they're going to continue to purposefully pollute our water table. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so fascinating how all of these scientists that say that this is safe and effective, because look, it won't pollute the water table for like 100 years. Well, what happens when it does? And it's critically
catastrophic.
Polluted. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Catastrophic. Because of the technocrats, because of the scientism, and because of what could possibly go wrong if we just pump down into the center of the earth. Because, you know, it'd probably just disappear.
It's because the interior of the earth is extremely hot, several million degrees.
Of the earth.
So, maybe it's magical down there.
Hey, yeah,
disappear.
Probably. Yeah. There's not even an aquifer down there. It's so hot, it just evaporates.
The problem is also relatively unexamined on a national scale. Hydrologists and other researchers typically focus on single aquifers or regional changes. All of this helps enable and reinforce practices that have drained aquifers, such as growing water-intensive crops like alfalfa, or cotton in dry areas, and over-reliance on groundwater in fast-growing urban areas. Several states, including Texas, Oklahoma, and Colorado, have rules that allow groundwater to be pumped from some regions until it's gone.
Oh, good.
What a brilliant... You know, everybody wants regulation and bureaucracy, and then these moronic bureaucrats, oh, yeah, just pump the water till it's gone. I mean, who needs water? I mean, who needs drinking water? Who needs clean water? Unreal, y'all.
So do you think it could be also, like, where the main pumping head is, where they're pumping it out? Like, for a certain area around that, that's where it's going dry?
Well, I know for Texas that there is one naturally forming lake in Texas.
Correct.
And that is...
Caddo.
Caddo Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Every other large lake formed in Texas is man-made.
Correct.
And the predominance of those lakes are also water sources for surrounding... Like, for example, I know that the city of Longview gets its water from a Lake of the Pines. Okay? And I know, like, Ray Hubbard supplies water. But almost all of our larger lakes are also...
Water,
parts of the water reserve and water supply,
for Texas.
Which in one way is brilliant, but in another way, if they're completely mismanaged, but like everything that government does, and it doesn't matter if it's conservative or liberal.
Nope.
These people are just so dumb.
They're dumb.
And they just, know, we'll just pump it dry.
Yeah, hence why, like, the governor could totally change that.
Mm-hmm.
Why
how about just protect our water and...
How like, no, some, it's illegal.
How about just some
that.
Common sense stuff?
That would take 2 seconds.
It's so incredible. How about protecting the water from these corporations or from idiotic bureaucrats that just think it's cool to, we'll just pump it till it's dry.
Destroy stuff.
But they do not care.
They,
some areas have set official timelines for how quickly they plan to use up groundwater over the next few decades. Oklahoma is working to determine how much water remains in its aquifers, information that state lawmakers could use to set limits on pumping. But Christopher Neal, the head of water rights for Oklahoma Water Resources Board, said people might not necessarily welcome the government telling them that their land is running out of groundwater.
Really?
Well, I mean, whether you like it or not, it's happening. If it's happening, you know, now, are they P-mining and manipulating data to control things?
Correct.
That's always the other part of the equation that has to be considered, which once again, the solution, we always point back to personal responsibility, and that's why we dug a pond, and that's why we have a pond here at the house.
Correct.
That's why we have a pond at the ranch. That's why we're going to continue to develop different means of water catchment, yeah, water storage.
Yeah.
Because the problem is you never know what data is real, mm-hmm, what data is not real. The one thing we do know is that government exclusively screws everything up, mm-hmm, and government effectively wastes. So those are two factors that, yeah, are a definite that we know are happening.
Mm-hmm.
If we start showing that kind of data, that kind of goes into your property values, Mr. Neal said. If we show an area may be depleted in, let's say, 2 years, well, if someone tries to sell that property, they're not going to be able to. To get the clearest picture possible of the state of groundwater in the United States, the Times interviewed scientists, policymakers, and hydrological experts, in addition to building its national database of millions of measurements from wells used to measure groundwater depth. The analysis of that data, some of it collected from wells that have been tracked for a century, enabled the Times to cross-reference water levels over time with crop cover and population patterns. Results were also compared against readings from sophisticated satellites that can estimate groundwater changes from space by measuring subtle shifts in gravity. Wow, that's interesting. Gravity's a theory, but anyway. Recent data from these satellites, which are operated by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and funded by no such. What do they say NASA stands for? Something about never telling the truth, or
something.
Need another 7 trillion or what? What's the? I forget what they call NASA, but never a straight answer. That's what it is. Never a straight answer, NASA. There you go. Also shows aquifers in decline. So obviously there, a lot of this is propaganda, y'all.
Correct.
Two major California and Arizona aquifers recently matched or exceeded their lowest levels since NASA began collecting data 2 decades ago, according to research from Bridget Scanlon and Ashraf Rateb, the University of Texas at Austin, the parts of Ogallala, East Kansas, East Colorado, and Oklahoma, and panhandles, gates a huge share of the food supply, reached their lowest since the start of this program.
Oh, good.
NASA's mission to stings of climate change, amplifying problem. And then China is doing something.
China.
Global warming. You know, the snowpack. The rivers. So if the snowpack shrinks, when snow melts, it turns into water. Mm. When water flows down, it goes into the ocean. Doesn't disappear.
Okay. Mm.
Doesn't disappear.
Well, it goes into lakes and streams, and then that gets absorbed.
And streams dry up and whatnot, but it doesn't, but the water does not disappear, y'all.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is part of this conundrum. And water is definitely important, essential, and water is an issue. Once again, we're asking questions. That's all.
Yeah. But before we get back into it, we wanted to tell y'all about the butcher shop on thetexasboys.com. You can pick up, we are selling local grass-fed, grass-finished ground beef and pork. And you might be saying, well, that's awesome. Or you might be saying, I'm not anywhere close to the northeast Texas area, but I would still love to get some organic, non-vaccinated, grass-fed beef. And we got a solution for you. So go ahead and take a listen to this.
Hello from Central Texas and Mercy Meadows Ranch. We ship our grass-fed, grain-finished beef within the lower 48 states. If you want to purchase an eighth, a quarter, a half, or even a whole cow from our farm to your door, we'll ship it to you. Just go to mercymeadowsranch.com and pre-order by September 15th, 2023 to get in on the latest shipment of this delicious line of beef shipped, again, from our ranch right to your door. That's mercymeadowsranch.com. Join our email list, and we will keep you posted on future pre-order dates for shipping in early 2024. Yeehaw, y'all!
So global warming shrinking the snowpack, increasing the reliance on groundwater to sustain communities, lawns, and crops, even as rising temperatures mean that plants need more water. A warmer world also causes more surface water to evaporate. It does evaporate, but then it turns into a gas. Where does it go?
It rains again.
Yes, leaving less to seep through the ground to replenish overstressed aquifers. Now, water can definitely be shifting to different places, but it cannot be disappearing.
Correct.
Even in places experiencing more violent rainstorms because of climate change, the heavier rainfall only helps so much. That's because much of the water from extreme downpours races away quickly to the ocean.
What?
Before it can sit and soak into the aquifer below.
What?
So maybe the oceans, if the oceans were accumulating all of this extra water.
Yeah, but if it rains in Oklahoma, we don't have like rushes of water coming through the state of Texas into the ocean.
And well, like, my point is if that were happening, right, and all the excess extra water was going to the ocean, the ocean levels would rise.
Like, yes, of course, there are some, there are streams that go into the ocean, yeah, of course.
We're dealing with a closed system.
But, yeah.
So,
I mean, it's going to get absorbed into the ground way before it gets to the ocean.
Well, it might, I don't know. I mean, it could get, it, that could be, if that were happening, ocean levels would rise, regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, volume. It's basic math. It adds up. What? No, it does not add up, y'all. Okay, it doesn't add up
at all. Yeah.
It adds up to what might be called a climate trap. Well, it's a trap, okay? As rising temperatures shrink rivers in much of the country, farmers and towns have an incentive to pump more groundwater to make up the difference. Experts call... Yeah, and then you have all of this technology that is diverting the water as coolant, you know, and none of that. It's That's this true. Is all about global warming and the useless eaters that use the water to grow food. And that's the problem. Experts call that a self-defeating strategy. By draining aquifers that filled up over thousands of or millions of years, they don't know that, regions risk losing access to that water in the future when they might need it even more as climate change makes rainfall less predictable or droughts more severe. Or weather modification does those things as well. From an objective standpoint, this is a crisis. I would agree. There's this these water issues need to be addressed, and it's definitely not... You know, out of sight, out of mind. So many people just don't pay attention to anything.
Yeah.
Like one day they're going to turn the spigot on and mud's going to come out. Nothing's going to come out. And they're going to be like, hey, but what about all the government peoples that are supposed to be taking care of this? Right. And we just need to elect better people to do this kind of stuff.
Like the people that I literally watch spray like Roundup on the side of the highways.
I did.
And then my neighbor stopped him and was like, yo, don't be spraying. Like, no, he said, he was like, what are you spraying? He's like, oh, I'm spraying this herbicide. Juice. And he was like, what's in it? You know, he's like, oh, me no, no.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like,
that's nice for you, buddy.
Whoa, dude. Like,
go put it in a bottle of mouthwash and drink it.
Actually, I saw this on a back, like a little back county road. And it was bombed, right? And then somebody had went back and put, please do not spray on trees like down the county road.
Yeah, that's great. It's so infuriating, crazy. Especially when you watch some like brainless moron that's barely making $12 an hour. And he's just like, oh, cool, watch this.
Yeah,
like,
now they have several different types of sprayers. They have the sprayers that spray the grass. And now they have these tree sprayers. And now they spray the trees So then the branches don't protrude or whatever. And I'm like, and it, I'm talking, it sprays 20 or 30 feet into these forest lines.
These people
that aren't even their property. Yeah, these, it's not their property.
These are the same people that would like just neuter themselves and their own children. I cannot imagine. And I don't know who these more, I mean, just there are useless eaters.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, and I always say that unemployment is not high enough, y'all. And I'm not for robotization and universal basic income, but as high as unemployment may or may not get, it will never be high enough. I'm sure you've all been to those stores. But I don't want to get down a rabbit trail here. From an objective standpoint, this is a crisis. Yeah, and I would totally agree with that. Everywhere thirsty farms. The most visible symbol of Americans' agricultural bounty is the center pivot irrigation system. And this is a completely, this is a big ag. This is a completely failed monoculture system that is a destructive system. And it doesn't work in a regenerative way, in a symbiotic way. And it's just a failed system. And it is part of the problem. But every problem, within every problem, is the seed of solution, you know. And this is where regenerative practices, this is the kind of stuff that Jeff Lawton and Alan Savory are demonstrating in real time. Like with the Greening the Desert project, these guys have proven that they can correct these issues and reverse these problems. There's a guy in West Texas. What's that, Dust Ups channel?
Yeah, Dust Ups. Yeah,
yeah, it's called Dust Ups, and that's what he's doing. He bought hundreds of acres in West Texas, and you can buy acres in West Texas probably for like $200 or $300 an acre. But it's like rocks and cactuses, y'all.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool project. We're watching him, and he's getting people that are volunteers helping him do all these different kind of spillways and catchments to greenify West Texas. This is going to be pretty cool. I mean, it's very ambitious.
Yeah, very.
But it's great seeing people that take an interest in this and then put their feet to it. And
not just talk it about it. Yeah.
And then communities that are working together with it, volunteering their time.
It's cool.
It's this, that is the solution, y'all.
Yeah.
We have to be the solution. You can't just point out the problems. You have to be the solution.
Yep.
Let's see. Central pivot irrigation systems, a metal contraption on wheels that is attached to a pump and revolves around a central point. A single arm mounted with sprinklers can be as long as half a mile.
What?
Dispersing hundreds of gallons per minute as well, 24 hours a day for weeks or months on end. Across much of the high plains, the landscape is dominated by these pivots. But a visitor to Wichita County in western Kansas, we'll see fewer of them. The reason? There's little water left to lay down. The wells have begun to go dry. And this is partially because of the way that when you pump it up and in a monoculture, it evaporates when the soil becomes aquaphobic due to pesticides. It becomes a diminishing system.
Yeah.
Right, and this is proof of it,
which
is proof that it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, you have to try somebody up something else. But it doesn't mean don't grow food and curl up and die or eat bugs or anything like that.
Or just,
you know,
3D print some meat.
Right. That needs liquid like water. Any solution, if it's even bugs or 3D printed meat, is going
to
require
water.
Yeah,
still need water.
Life needs water, regardless. You know what I mean? Irrigation can be more than double the amount of corn grown per acre. As farms in the area use up the groundwater, corn yields have declined, erasing decades of gains. The region offers a glimpse into the future of America's farming industry if groundwater keeps getting used up. We overpumped it, said Farron Watt, who has been farming in Wichita County for 23 years. We didn't know it was going to run out. American agriculture didn't always rely on pulling huge volumes of water out of the ground.
Really?
Interesting. Wow, history. Until the middle of the last century, farmers were mostly limited to relying on rainfall or river water. Smaller wells were mainly just supplements. But advances in pump technology after World War II created an American agricultural powerhouse, turning the West and the High Plains into a bounty of corn, alfalfa, and other crops that no one should eat. Oh, didn't say that. Okay. Delivering yields that surface water alone couldn't support. Maybe for natural reasons, and that was a good thing.
Yeah.
And we broke that natural cycle, and now we're going to pay the price. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is everything that – this is the embodiment of what industrial farming has done, and this is just a symptom of that. And this entire this is evolution, y'all. This is the end of evolution. It's when scientism and trust the science and we're smarter than God and we can create – better, and we've evolved past that, and now, like, who's the weaselly, gay, sticky, wef guy? Yuval Noah Harari, right? Mm-hmm. This is we're in this new age of evolution now that we're going to evolve ourselves and all this stuff. That's how we got here, and this whole like modern industrialization of. Thanks to World War II and the industrial, you know, Sally Steamfitter and all this stuff. Yeah, and now, you know, now we can't grow food and we're all going to stink and dehydrate like a prune. You know, thanks. Thanks, Sally Steamfitter. It's all your fault. No, it's not your fault, Sally Steamfitter. But last year the United States produced 39%. Of the global sorghum exports, 32% of soybean exports, 23% of corn exports. Federal data show America also exported more cotton than any other country. That success has relied on pumping up more water than nature could put back. That is very much a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of y'all are eating sorghum and soybeans.
And cotton.
But maybe we need to reevaluate that as well. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe.
General Mills and whatever. Okay. Loma Linda, that success has relied on pumping up more water than nature could put back. As recently as the 1990s, Wichita County farmers produced 165 to 175 bushels of corn per acre, well above the national average. But it came at a cost, requiring farmers to drain the aquifer in order to irrigate their crops. The area gets less than 20 inches of rain a year on average, about one-third less than the continental U.S. as a whole, not nearly enough to replace the water being pumped out of the ground. And so what's fascinating is the solution is we need to genetically modify corn so that it's more water efficient, or we need this genetically modified sorghum or cotton or whatever, rather than evaluating the system as a whole and saying, you know, and the reason.
Why are we running out of water? Why can't we pump any, why can't we keep pumping water from the ground? Oh no, don't talk about that. Let's just.
Right. And maybe we need to holistically approach the growth of these, and maybe the volume won't be as large, but the system as a whole will be more productive and maybe even be abundant if we consider different crops simultaneously together in a synergistic way, in a holistic fashion. Like guys like Joel Salatin and Will Harris have demonstrated, and they've also demonstrated that it can be done holistically and profitably.
Yeah. On a big scale.
On a large scale, and it is scalable.
100%.
Rather than just saying that it's impossible and how are now, we going to feed everybody?
Now, are you going to be able to grow tens of thousands of acres of corn? No. False.
No, but stop but, processing corn and putting it in gasoline.
Exactly.
And we could dramatically reduce. You
oh,
know,
my goodness.
A lot of these pressures on the food system are a result and a byproduct of bureaucracy and have nothing to do with actual human consumption.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's so many factors.
There's so many
that factor into all this. And then to just climate change, you know, it is fascinating, but there are an enormous amount of questions.
Yeah.
The necessity for water is real.
It is.
The threat to our water supplies are real.
Mm-hmm.
The redistribution and allocation of our water is very real. And
yeah.
So individually, on a personal level for your family, you have to be considering all these things. You have to be mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, what you can do as an individual to improve your water situation. And, you know, and the reason that they don't want to talk about it and tell people is because it's incredibly, yeah, like what happens when there is no water? What happens when you turn the magical little spigot mm-hmm. and, you know, your spigot that's attached to the water treatment plant, however many hundreds of miles away, just doesn't have any water, or somebody's contaminated or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, these are all different things that you should think about. These are all things that people thought about as they were, you know, rugged individualists, and they were moving westward. They weren't like, oh, I can't wait till I get to Oregon and I can plumb my kitchen sink.
Talking about the water
to the
deal,
magic.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Finish what you were saying.
No, when the rugged individualists mm-hmm. and the pioneers traveled west, there was no thought, idea, or concept that I'm going to plug in into the plumbing infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
right, to feed all my, to water all my animals and to drink from and all these different things. You know, they had to think of, well, what if it's me? What if I have to, what do I do to find water? And one way to find water is before you need it, to capture it and store it, right? That's just a common, but common sense is dead, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's all we're talking about, to think about and consider if you have a farm, if you're trying to grow food, if you're trying to grow animals, you're going to need water, and water is a challenge. And the more they manipulate the weather and the more that they manipulate the weather patterns, and I'm thoroughly convinced that that's where the water is going. It's being manipulated and shifted around.
Yeah, correct.
But it certainly isn't being destroyed and going away. It is somewhere. It does not go away. All right. That's kind of like my whole entire point of the conversation, other than to getting you thinking about what are you doing about your water.
Because I want to do that, so then you just feel hopeless.
Exactly. You know? And that's y'all, you got to, okay, you got to. The problem is people want a ubiquitous solution that's applicable to, like, well, what if I live on the 45th floor of a sky? Well, look, I don't want to pop any bubbles, and I feel very, that's not going to end well. I'm just, that.
No.
You can't, okay, you can prepare and all stuff. You can stack Nestle water in your closet or whatever.
Yeah.
You could never even hope
this
to store year, a year
in Tennessee, in Memphis, they had a bad storm and some goofball pumped some diesel into the water supply and the water was contaminated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know, maybe he wasn't a goofball. Maybe it was a, you know.
Do you know that just happened
in Florida? No way.
The day before the hurricane.
Really? It's probably another good
old accident. No, this was what they did is they pumped diesel into a gas reservoir. So they contaminated all this gas that was contaminated at the gas stations, like hundreds of gas stations, like right before this hurricane, when everybody's going to be storing gasoline for generators and stuff. Yeah, they contaminated and they made it.
Whoops!
Just a coincidence. One of those.
But you know what I say?
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Dude, those are words to live by, and these are the lessons that we are trying to teach.
Correct. The next generation.
In postmodern 2023 Clown World 2.0, who can look back at that bastion of freedom, George W. Bush.
Yes.
Wise man right there. So, y'all, that's food for thought. I want y'all to be thinking about this. I want you to be thinking about what your water solutions are, and then also where is the water going? And is it disappearing? Is this a simulation and the water is being transmuted into an alternate reality somewhere?
Correct.
I don't know.
Don't
know. I don't think so. I would say that I would not agree with that idea.
No.
But this has been fun, and we do like to have a good time.
It is.
And laugh a little bit.
It's a good discussion.
Because, you know, that's all part of the process. And, you know, that's how it's also a coping mechanism. And it's also humor is a great way to communicate kind of disturbing topics, like we're going to all run out of water and turn into, you know, gigantic prunes and whatnot. So, you know, you can laugh a little bit. I know, you know, we get some criticism. Why are you always laughing? Well, I mean, that's the way we do it.
I mean.
And humor has been used in that fashion for thousands of years. This wasn't my idea. I didn't think this up. So it's part of the human process. All right, y'all. Hey, subscribe to the Fearless Podcast.
Yeah.
We love y'all. Check out thetexasboys.com. And any parting thoughts or ideas?
I don't know. Just don't be spraying any chemicals on your place.
And I have one more suggestion.
What else?
For life. Stay fearless, my friends.
There you go.
Cue the outro.
Outro.